Hey, what's up, y'all? Seriously, whoa, man, are y'all good? I know you're so filled up right now. You said, I just want more of you, God, and now you're so filled up, you can't even listen to me, right? That's good. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, are y'all concerned about this storm going on? I just look out the window, it's not raining yet, so we got all day long to hang out here today, all right? Sound good? Hey, y'all, what an amazing worship set, first of all. I'm just kind of getting my bearings as well, but I'm going to start out with a couple questions for you today. So I'm going to ask you to kind of engage and put on your thinking caps for a second. And I'm going to start with this question because I'm really curious. All right. Believe it or not, even though I'm up on stage this morning, I'm pretty much an introvert. I don't really like to speak in front of people very much. In fact, if I'm in a crowd of people, I'm usually the guy that kind of fades into the background, right? Anybody else? Anybody else kind of relate to that? All right. How many of y'all like to speak in front of people? Like you really like to talk out, okay, a couple. Now, how many of y'all really like to just talk? Like, get me in, man, just let me go. You better raise your hand. No, I'm kidding. I see y'all. You like to just talk, and you kind of do that. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and then it became obvious that they were just checking out? Like, they're not present. All right, you're in the middle of a conversation, and all of a sudden, they're looking at their phone, or they're saying hey to somebody else, or they're doing something. You know, anybody? Just kind of, you know how that feels? Let me ask you the other side of that question. You're talking to somebody, you're in a conversation, and it is obvious that they are engaged. Like they are locked in, they are fully present. You feel seen, you feel heard, you literally feel understood. How's that feel? Yeah, you can talk out loud. That's good. I'm listening. How's that feel? Now, let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you listened to God that way? Not the first way where you're checking out, but that way where you're engaged. You're present with him. You're really locked into what he has to say to you. The question attached to that is this. Do we really, like, and honestly, think about this. Do you really believe that God has something to say to you? Do you really believe that God has something to say? And the million-dollar question, the question I want you to think about, and I'm going to ask you to just kind of rate where you're at from a 1 to 10. Do you really want to hear God speak to you? Analyze your own heart. Do you really want to hear God speak to you? And be honest, all right? Go ahead. Just kind of think in your own mind. One being not at all, like I'm checked out. I don't really, you know, God, I don't even know if I care what he says. But all the way into I'm all in, I'm all ears. God, speak to me all the time. I'm great, okay? 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself? And you're not going to be graded on this, all right? No one's going to see this. Just kind of get your wheels turning a little bit. You know where you're at? Now, the reason I'm asking this is because I am about to preach for about 35 minutes about hearing the God who speaks and praying and living like we believe it. But do we really want to hear him in the first place? You see, God speaks. The question is, who cares? Do you care? Do I? Because over the past 3 weeks, all right, this series has been just amazing. Over the past 3 weeks, we've heard how God speaks, like literally speaks, through the Holy Spirit. Gary Johnson was here 3 weeks ago. I hope you heard that sermon. He talked about the Holy Spirit. Great, great, great teaching. 2 weeks ago, Josh was up here, and he talked about how God speaks. He speaks through the Bible, the Word of God, which, by the way, I need to appreciate Josh for a second. I mean, he's probably off in the gym somewhere, but I was going to preach that week, and apparently I had COVID and couldn't do it. So anyway, I called him on Saturday morning and checked out, and in 24 hours, Josh put together a remarkable sermon. So praise the Lord for Josh. If you get a chance to pat him on the back, yep. God speaks through the Bible. And then last week, Linwood talked about how God speaks through trials, through suffering. His voice can be heard. Man, this has been a great, practical, powerful series. God speaks. So God's done his part. The question then remains, do we really want to hear God? Do we really want to hear him speak into our lives? into our everyday choices, into the things that we do and the way that we live. And I want you to be honest. God speaks, but do you care? Do you care enough to do what it takes to listen? Do whatever it takes to listen. Now, I want to believe that I'm a 10, all right? I want to believe I'm a 10 on the scale, but I'm going to be honest, probably anyway. But I want to be a 10. And when I think about a 10, I think about when I was a young, when I was a young boy up till about 10 or 12 years old up in Illinois, running around the neighborhood with all my childhood friends. And we'd play baseball off in the middle of nowhere, you know, off in a field by the school, or we'd be playing, running around everywhere, all right? We'd be far away from home. And then right about sunset, right about the time when we were getting hungry, all right, we would hear, only better and deeper and louder. And you know what that whistle was? That was my dad whistling for me to come home. And everybody, even my friends would be like, dude, your dad's calling. You better get on home. And I'm like, oh, I'm headed home. I'm starving. And I'd hear this no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing. And I would stop everything. A 10, okay? I heard my dad's whistle. I heard his voice. And I'm on my way home to get dinner. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about a 10. You see, God speaks to us. Do we hear his voice? Do we hear his whistle? Do we hear his call in our lives? And I know it's hard to believe. In fact, sometimes it's totally unreasonable to me. But the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, loves you. And he loves me. He loves his people. He wants us to know him and know him deeply. And it's our choice to draw near to him. He speaks. Do we listen? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God's done his part. Now we need to do our part. And drawing near includes listening to the God who makes us, who made us and who loves us. Who loves us and who wants us to know him. And in fact, the God who knows that knowing him and listening to him is best for us. That's why he sent his son Jesus. That's why what we just celebrated during communion is so important to remember and to know and to understand and solidify and then to know that he sent his son Jesus to live and to die and to rise again so that we can know God. Like he came in the flesh so we can know him and know his love and hear his voice now and for eternity. I want to go ahead and point your attention to John chapter 10. Just to listen to what this Jesus says. This is a great passage in scripture, and we're right about in the middle of it. And Jesus is, he's kind of being scrutinized by the leaders of the time, and these Jewish leaders are asking Jesus this question. John chapter 10, verse 22 says, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, words come out of my mouth. I told you, and you do not believe. You don't care. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep, Jesus saying this, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them, my sheep, eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. Y'all, that is who I want to be. I want to be the kind of Christ follower who knows the voice of his good shepherd, and I hope you do too. I hope you want to be the kind of sheep that listens and knows that he knows you and he loves you and he cares for you and then to follow him. Is that where you want to be? Man, that to me is a 10. That to me is going, man, I've got a good shepherd and I want to hear his voice and I want to listen. And one way we can begin to listen, going all the way back to the beginning of time, is through creation. Creation. This is one way God speaks to us. God spoke to create the world. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, 12 times we hear, and God said, and God said, and God said. He created everything. with his voice, including mankind. He spoke into creation and he speaks through creation. This is a beautiful way to hear God's voice. Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The voice of God can be seen and heard in creation. I love Psalm 29. Listen to these words. They'll be on the screen. You can follow along. Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord, give to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And then look at verse 3. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is over the waters of God. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And all his temple cry, glory. The God of creation speaks. And all we can do in response is say, glory to God in the highest. Look, I want to invite you, urge you, beg you to hear God's voice in creation. And in order to do that, you got to go outside. And I know we're locked down in our living rooms and our air conditioning and our cars and our offices, but go outside. And when you go outside, man, look up, look around, take your time. Take it in. Look at what God has done and continues to do. And I know this might sound corny and, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, but man, take notice of the birds and the butterflies and the sky and the colors and the trees. And even on a day like this, when it's cloudy outside, look at how God is watering the earth and taking care of his planet. It's incredible. Go outside and listen. Feel the wind in your face. Breathe. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Smell. Look around at nature. Uninterrupted nature. Like, I like zoos and I like, you know, like we have a dog around. But I mean, just go ahead out in the woods and just look at what God has done that man has not touched in years. And see and hear the voice of God. Stars. The moon, the sun, the Gulf waters, 15 minutes away. Are you kidding me? Watch a sunset. Hear his voice, the hills, and people. You are his creation. Look around. Look at how weird people are and how beautiful they are. Just take a look at humanity. And I know sometimes we just go, humans, bleh. You know what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you and loved you, and you are a wonder of creation. Look at the person next to you. Look around. Yeah, there's all kinds of characters in here, but I promise, the person you're looking at and the person that looks back at you in the mirror, you are a wonder of creation. Look at your hands, look at your feet, your body, your eyes. I've got a dear friend, my eye doctor, who's a Christian today. Because as he was an atheist, he studied the eyes, the human eyes, and came to the conclusion that they didn't happen by accident. And he started looking for God, and God spoke to him just through the wonder of his own human body. Look around. You are a wonder of creation, and God speaks through creation. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? And if that's not enough, sometimes God speaks, this is crazy to me, with a voice. A voice. Now, I think this is rare, and I've not heard God's voice audibly. Okay, I just got to say that out front. I'm not actually sure I could handle it if I did hear God's voice audibly. But the Bible talks about people who have heard his voice. In fact, the Word of God says that God spoke to patriarchs, kings, and prophets, that he literally spoke to people like Noah in Genesis chapter 8. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham, to Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and other prophets. There's a great story in 1 Kings 19 about God speaking to Elijah, and when he did, it wasn't even with a huge booming voice in the thunder and the clouds. It was in the still, small voice that Elijah heard his call. and then Moses. Exodus 24 says that Moses, that God spoke to Moses. And God didn't just speak to Moses, he would speak through Moses. In fact, he uses the word hear. Hear, O Israel. All throughout the Torah, hear, O Israel. And in fact, Jesus himself quoted one of these times when stating what the most important commandment of all is. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel. God says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You see, his word, it goes into our ears and it gets into our heart and then it gets out of our lives. Jesus says that's the most important commandment. See, God speaks, he speaks, he speaks, and we are designed, we are created to hear and pay attention to his voice. In fact, God uses words like, hear the word of God. Words like listen and hear and incline your ear and give attention about 700 times in the Old Testament. Psalm 95:7 is quoted three times in the book of Hebrews when God says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And the New Testament, the living word of God, the word of God comes from heaven to earth in the flesh, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 says that in Jesus, God's only son, the word of God, the logos, becomes flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized and the word of God comes over him and you could hear his voice saying, this is my son, my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. It happens again in Matthew 17, God's voice is heard at the transfiguration. His voice is heard. Verse 5 in Matthew 17, Peter is still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadows them and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And the voice said, God's voice said, listen to him. Later, Peter would reflect on this back in 2 Peter chapter 1. We ourselves, Peter saying, we heard that voice. We heard the very voice from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain. God speaks. And the words of Jesus are God's words. You see, when Jesus speaks, God speaks. God said it clearly right there. Listen to him. And over again, as Jesus walked and did ministry, he used this phrase, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. He uses that term 14 different times, 7 in the Gospels and 7 in the book of Revelation. You see, God designed us to hear his voice. He speaks, and he created us to hear it and to pay attention to his voice. Listen, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, eternal God is to be revered. Jesus said himself when we pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. He is to be worshiped. But he also created us to know him. He created us to know him and to be with him and to hear his voice, to encounter his love and to trust that he knows best for us. Who wouldn't want some of that? Y'all want some of that? You just saying, I want more of you, God. Man, this is what this is talking about. We want more of him. But the problem is, if you're like me, even when I want it, even when I want more, even when I want to hear his voice, I'm also human. And maybe you can relate to this, but I tend to get distracted. Like I tend to get distracted away from God towards lesser things. Most of the time, really good things, but they're distracting me from hearing God's voice. I mean, I get distracted from sports quite a bit. Nothing wrong with sports, man. I love watching sports. Some of you might get distracted by your job or by all the great things going around you. Maybe serving the Lord, maybe being with your family. Maybe it's politics or news or a storm outside, but fill in the blank. We get distracted. So we have to be intentional if we want to hear God's voice. And we have to intentionally listen. And this is what we see in a story, a true story of Martha and Mary and Jesus. Martha, Mary, and Jesus, and it's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to share you this story. As Jesus is going on and doing ministry, some really cool things are happening. And now they're on their way through town, and Jesus enters a village. Verse 38 says, a woman named Martha welcomes Jesus into her house. Now, we got to imagine here at this time, I mean, there's people following Jesus, and we have every reason to believe that, that there was a party going on, and Martha was in charge of getting everything ready. So that's what's happening here. He welcomes Jesus into her house, and verse 39 says that she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And Martha was distracted with much serving. And she goes up to Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And the Lord answers her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Can I ask you, what was the one thing necessary that Jesus is talking about here? What's the one thing necessary? What's the good portion that Mary was engaging in here with God, with Jesus? What was she doing? Yeah, she was sitting still at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. I think this story, Mary and Martha, both teach us something about listening to Jesus. And I just want to kind of grab a hold of four things real quick that I see in the story that we can all kind of do in practical ways. The first one is this: slow down. Slow down. Martha, listen, Martha, what you're doing is important. All right, it's awesome. You're serving. But you're moving so fast. You're so busy doing things that you're missing out on the most important thing. To hear God, we've got to slow down and stop and create time to be with him, to sit at his feet. I think Jesus modeled this so well in his ministry. In fact, all throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus is surrounded by busyness. He's got people tugging on him everywhere. I think if I read my Bible right, Jesus had some pretty important things to do, all right? And he has all kinds of stuff going on all the time. Jesus was in demand, and yet he found time, he made time to go, to get away, and to be with his Father in prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. He got away to pray, and we can too. And I know there's all kinds of great books and resources everywhere on this. In fact, our leadership is learning. I promise to do this with you. We are family here, and we're trying to help, and we're sharpening one another in this way. But the fact of the matter is, if we want to hear God, we have got to unhurry our lives. Unbusy. Slow down. And we slow down, and then the second thing we need to do is show up. Like, show up. Pick a place, pick a time, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever, outside, inside, all alone, in your car, whatever. But God says, God says in Psalm 46, to be still and know that I am God. And Mary set a great example of this. She gets away from all the busyness and she shows up sitting at Jesus' feet. And we can too. Look, I know this is half the battle. Especially if you're, you know, just like, I've heard this all the time. I just can't be still. Trust me. I know what that feels like. Be still. Show up. Add this to your calendar. Get this into your to-do list. Prioritize showing up with God. And this third one here is a big theological concept. All right? Like, this is super duper deep. Run with me on this. Number three, but Joe, man, you don't know what I've been, man, I got somewhere to go. I got things, man, the game is on, but shh. just be here. Be here. Shh. Isaiah 55, the Lord says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness, shh, and trust shall be your strength. But you are unwilling. Be quiet. Look, I just want to encourage you this morning to somehow discover the value of silence before God, to turn off the noise, turn off the screens, everything. Sit at his feet and breathe. Listen. Mary sat still at Jesus' feet to shh. Listen to him. Listen, and we can. Be quiet. And then the fourth thing is to submit. Submit. Listen up. Submit. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Why? Because he was the teacher. He is God. And in being with and learning from Jesus, Mary had chosen the good portion. You know why it was the good portion? Because he is God. And he's got something worth listening to. And the thing about this is if you've ever had a teacher or a coach or a parent who required your attention, then their teaching also required action. That's what listening means. So when I talk about submit, we're talking about listening to God. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Listening to God means obeying God. Now, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, because there's probably been a time when you have talked to your children, you've talked to your husband, your wife, maybe somebody in your house, maybe you're a boss at work, and you've said something once, you've said something twice, you've said, and finally you're like, did you hear me? Of course I heard you. What are you really asking them? Why haven't you done what I asked you to do? You know they heard you, but were they listening to you? So we can't separate listening here from obeying. Submit. God speaks so that we will listen to what he says and to do it. So in Luke chapter 10, Mary got the good portion when she decides to slow down, to show up, to shut up, and to listen up. It's a pretty good formula for Joe. I don't know about for you. But slow down, show up, shut up, and listen up. This is the necessary thing. Isaiah says, listen, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Henry Nouwen said, every time you listen to God with great attentiveness to the voice that calls you the beloved, you will discover within yourself a desire to hear that voice longer and more deeply. I think that's true. So what happens? I mean, we decide we're going to sit still. We decide we're going to sit at his feet. How do we let God know? And how do we like literally become all ears to God? And I just want to propose a couple questions that might help us to prepare our ears and our hearts to listen at his feet as we sit still. All right? Just a couple questions we can ask even before you come to worship in the morning or before you open the Bible to hear his voice. What can we ask? Well, the first question is this. What do I need to hear from God right now? What do I need to hear from God right now? Not what do I need to say to God? What does God need to hear from me right now? What do I need to hear? Sit in that question. What do I need to hear from God right now? And then the second question. As I sit in scripture, as I sit in solitude, what is God saying to me? What's God saying? But what's God saying to me? And slowly think that through. And listen. Take time to be quiet and to listen to God in prayer. To listen beyond words, beyond thoughts, fully aware of his presence. And when we do, I believe we will truly encounter God, knowing that his spirit is within us. The spirit that is praying, the spirit that knows your every thought anyway. So saying it out loud, look, just let the spirit intercede for you and pray for you, like Romans 8 says. You'll know that's happening. You'll know that the Lord is near. that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but then everything we can trust him with and pray to him, Philippians 4 says. We can know that we can pray without ceasing, that everywhere we go and all that we do, inside, outside, all around, that we can pray without ceasing, like 1 Thessalonians 5 says. And when we engage with God and we sit in this place, how do we, what happens? Like, what can you expect when we're in that silent prayer and we're listening, we're reverently, and then something happens. Maybe you hear this word, you hear this voice, you're not real sure, but something's going on. Maybe it's an unexpected thought or a feeling and it comes out of nowhere. How do you know that this word that you're hearing, this experience that you're having is actually from God? How do you know? We hear this all the time. God said this to me. God said that to me. How do we know that this is really a word from God? Great question. Author and teacher Pete Gregg suggests this simple formula, and I really like it. It's memorable. It's pretty easy even for a guy like me. A, B, C. A, B, C. Y'all got this? All right. How do we know? The first thing we need to do is ask whether the thought we've had, the word we've heard, is affirming. A. Is it affirming? Based on scripture, does it build up? Does it encourage? Does it edify the kingdom of God and the people that he created? And if you don't know, ask somebody. Ask somebody you trust who knows the word. Is this of the Spirit of God? In fact, I would ask the Holy Spirit if he's in you. Is this affirming? Is this of you? If you're not sure, go to Galatians 5 and read the fruit of the Spirit. It's pretty good words there. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and see, is what I'm thinking, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Go ahead and check out. Man, God's word is, it'll let you know if it's affirming. Secondly, is your thought, is this word biblical? Be biblical. And I don't mean can you find an obscure verse somewhere, cherry picking, you know, to back up what you're hearing. I'm talking about, is it in context, consistent with the broad teaching and witness of Scripture? Is it biblical? This, of course, means that you and I need to know our Bibles. We need to be students of the Bible if we want to hear God's voice. Is it affirming? Is it biblical? And C, most importantly, is it Christ-like? Is it Christ-like? So based on Scripture, does what you hear sound like what Jesus said? Did Jesus say it himself? Does it feel like the kind of person Jesus was? And of course, this means you need to know Jesus. So know his words. Is it affirming? Is it biblical? Is it Christ-like? Look, I know it sounds simple. It's absolutely possible. It's just kind of a way to understand and to know. And I know this is true. And in fact, I just want to give you a couple examples. This week, and this isn't years ago, okay? This week I had three different friends of mine who told me that they heard God tell them to do something. Now these men, I promise you, they love and they know and they follow Jesus. They know his word. And in a place of prayer and a heart that says, speak to me, Lord, your servant is listening, like Book of Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Each of these three men said to me that they heard three different words from God. One said they heard the word, forgive. The second man said he heard the word, preach. Preach my word. And the third said he heard the word, go. Go plant a church. Are those words from God? Well, are they affirming? Biblical? Christ-like? Is that something Jesus would say? Forgive? Preach? Go? Yeah. This is kind of simple. And their stories aren't mine to tell, but I'm going to tell you that the first man listened. And also almost immediately, God gave him an unplanned, face-to-face opportunity to forgive somebody that before that had been reluctant to forgive. And he did it. The second man, he listened to God. And he said yes. And once again, that man will be preaching on this stage next Sunday. And the third man, he listened. Go. 4 years ago, he said yes to go and to plant a church in Citrus County. And now he has hundreds of brothers and sisters worshiping with him today, just a half hour up the road. God speaks. We listen. We obey and watch what happens. To kind of bring this home a little bit, a little more personal to me. And I hope it's okay that I do this, but it's kind of a personal story. Again, this is just last week. And I kind of opened my life up to you a little bit. Mondays are my Sabbath day, so I'm kind of off the grid. My phone's off, and I'm not in front of screens. I got a whole bunch of little things that I try not to do on Monday. So if you try to get a hold of me on Monday, I'm sorry, not available. But I kind of set that time away. That's time for God, and it also provides me a kind of like a big version of my mornings together with God, and it's just kind of a cool thing. But I'm just an ordinary person like you. Ordinary time, pretty busy like you guys are. Ordinary Monday, ordinary place. In fact, this place happened to start in my closet and then move out into my back porch. And it's just a simple time on Monday where I was able to sit with the Lord in his word, to sit in silence with my ears and my eyes and my heart ready to listen. And when I do this, I kind of like to journal. I kind of like to have a pencil and a paper or a pen and a paper available. And a paper Bible, because when I use my phone Bible, I get distracted, right? Anybody else? So on this Monday, and I hope it's okay, I just kind of want to share this with you. And again, just bear with me, because you know, it's a little personal, and maybe you're like, okay, great, we get to hear Joe's inner thoughts, but look, I just want you to hear this. God, this is like tangible, man. This is like real stuff. Monday morning, I write this. As I sit in silence, in the dark, a candle is lit in my closet, and I imagine the Holy Spirit aflame within me, quiet, hot, present. It can be small, a flame, still, a light, heat. It could be large, consuming, a power in itself, to heat, to destroy, or to comfort. Holy Spirit, ignite me. And at that point, I just sat still for a while, and I don't even know how long. And then after some time, I went out on my back porch, and here's what I wrote. I sit out on the porch. Birds flutter and chirp. Cicadas sing. God's word brings light through the Spirit to my soul. In the dark, silent closet, God had said to me, I am the good shepherd. Let me shepherd you. But God, I'm a shepherd. I'm a teacher, a preacher, a father, a husband, a son, a friend, a servant, a leader. I'm an elder. And God said to me, not today. Not now. And I heard the words, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My sheep know me, and they know my voice. Be my sheep. Be my sheep. Know me. Let me shepherd you. Listen and be still. So I turn to Luke 10, and Jesus is leading, he's teaching, he's sending his disciples. There's encouragement there, there's woes, there's warnings, there's instruction, and I reflect on his goodness, his gentleness, that I have been sent to the harvest field, expecting nothing but gaining some food, drink, maybe payment along the way, provision from God and his people. For 35 plus years, I found a home, a mission field, in Sanford, in Spring Hill, there and here, and for that matter, wherever I go, I've been blessed to go. A kingdom message fueled by the Holy Spirit to humbly go, simply led by my shepherd. My shepherd, he cares, he provides. He allows me to wander, he allows me to hurt and to dance. He is ever near, so I rest in him. I know his voice. I abide in him. Luke 10:23 says, I am blessed. I'm blessed to hear his voice, to see with my eyes his life, his kingdom, his presence in the darkness, in the light of a candle, in creation, in the birds, in the flowers, in the trees, in the stars, in people, my family, my church. His goodness, his faithfulness, his love, ever present, my good shepherd. I love him and he loves me. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. So today, I rest in his presence. I rest in his arms of love. Today, he says, just be mine. Just be my son. Just be my sheep. And I've read that probably, it feels like 10 times, but it's simple. And as personal as to me, I'm sure that God is reaching out to you too. Say, I've got a voice. I want to be heard. I want you to know me, and I want, because I know you. And in a couple weeks, we've got a prayer event coming, and I just want to tell you about that for a second because it's in your bullet and you can read about it. But if you'll show up here in a couple weeks on a Sunday night, 6:30 on the 18th, we're going to just take some time to pray together and to listen to God together. And I'd like you to be here if you can. So I want to invite you to do that on the 18th. And again, we're here to help. We're here to do this together. We're on this journey together. In your bulletin, you're going to find in your notes there that there's some resources and next steps that you can do. And one of those next steps just happens to be one of our tools. We call these basics cards, these spiritual basics cards. And this one's called prayer. And what I'd like to do with you just for a few moments before we sing is show this to you and invite you to pick one up at the back desk or out at the next step station. But just says, in a culture characterized by packed schedules and exhaustion, it's important for Christ followers to learn to decelerate and refocus on God. And then later it says, now it's your turn to slow down and reflect. Each evening, find a quiet spot and use these four prompts to guide you into a deeper relationship with your Creator. And the prompts are the word prayer, P-R-A-Y, pray. Each of them stands for something different. And what I'd like to do, we're not going to go through the whole list today, but you're welcome to do this on your own, obviously, is I'd like to just kind of start with the P and the R. So the first one is pause. So right now, what I'd like you to do is just, hopefully you're not asleep already, but just go ahead and take a deep breath. All right, just breathe in and pause in the presence of God. Breathe in and hold it 5 seconds. Just breathe in and breathe it out slowly. Shh, relax. Relax your body, your shoulders. Be present. Be where your feet are. Don't think about earlier, don't think about later. Breathe. Pause. Pause, pause. Shh. Spiritually refocus on God. Set aside any requests or concerns you have. Just be with him. If you get distracted, remind yourself of why you're here by repeating the following phrase right out of Samuel. Breathe. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Shh. Listen. Shh. Listen. I after a time of pausing are, is to rejoice or reflect. Just let a smile come on your face to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We be still and know that he is God. Trust him. Listen and reflect. What have you heard from God this morning? What word? What is God saying to you? Where have you seen him show up today? Rejoice. He is present. And allow his word, allow his voice to you shape itself into thanksgiving. Take time to thank God right now for the blessing of his presence and his voice in your life. It's hard to even have words. What do we say to a God who knows our every thought already, created us and loves us? Just be grateful. Be grateful. And as we in gratefulness sing this song to him, may it be our prayer. May it be a hallelujah to him. Gratitude. Let our life, let our ears show our gratitude to God. In Jesus' name, let's sing this prayer to him.